The 2010 season at the University of North Carolina was an emotional one. The NCAA had suspended a great number of players amid academic infractions. We ended the season, really a stellar season on the field, with T.J. Yates, our quarterback, who went on to play a number of years in the NFL, but with T.J. Yates beating the University of Tennessee in the Music City Bowl in Nashville, Tennessee. The 2010 season was amazing. It was remarkable. All these men had overcome. And after that season, I was offered a head coaching job. TJ's backup was a young man named Bryn Renner, who I'd recruited to come to North Carolina and absolutely loved. I really thought Bryn might be able to beat most of TJ's records, if not all of them. But I really wanted to be a head coach. As the decision to take the job was weighing on me, my wife, Marcia, asked me, "What are you going to tell Bryn? How are you going to tell Bryn Renner, the quarterback that you recruited to come here, that you're leaving?" I told her I couldn't, and so I turned down the head coaching job, and then 8 days before the 2011 season, the University of North Carolina fired our head football coach, Butch Davis, and I knew that after the end of that season, the chances were I was going to be fired too. But in that spring of 2011, and in the fall of 2011, I recruited one of the finest individuals I've ever met. I recruited 4.0 student, recruited the valedictorian, I recruited two-time state champ, I recruited an unbelievable quarterback who I believed was going to be the number one pick of the NFL draft and lead North Carolina to a national championship. Thing is, I never got to coach this guy. This is the story of the best quarterback you never heard of, the best quarterback I ever recruited, and why I never coached him. Never coached him a day in my life.
Welcome to Going Deep, Sports in the 21st Century on Blue Ridge Public Radio. I'm Dr. Marcia Mount Shoup.
And I'm Coach John Shoup.
John's coached at the highest levels of the game of football for 26 years.
And Marcia is an author, theologian, and minister.
And we're glad you've joined us to go deep into some of the most pressing issues of our time.
On Going Deep, we go beyond the sound bites and highlight reels.
The story that we're about to hear and the person we're about to encounter on Going Deep is, it's not a tragedy. It's not a story that has a sad ending. But it is a story that brings to the surface a lot of the ways that the NCAA and collegiate revenue sports conspire against meaningful, life-giving relationships. This story is not the same kind of story you see in the student-athlete documentary on HBO, where players are sleeping in their cars and living in poverty. This is the story of a young man who has a lot of internal and external resources. He's made lemonade out of lemons, really. But part of what I hope our listeners will listen for in this story is all of the missed opportunities. Things could have been different. Things could have been better. And not only did the University of North Carolina miss an opportunity, but Patton has missed opportunities. Patton Robinette has missed opportunities because of the way collegiate sports works.
In addition to Patton having missed some opportunities, I got to say I felt like I missed an opportunity.
Yeah.
We did.
We did.
I really thought this was as good of a player as I had ever recruited, and I was really anxious to see how good we could get together.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to be a formidable pair, and I'm really sad that I missed that opportunity and that the University of North Carolina missed an opportunity to have a guy like this in their community.
I'm Patton Robinette. I'm currently a fourth-year medical student at the Vanderbilt University School of Medicine in Nashville, Tennessee, applying for a job as an orthopedic surgeon next year.
Well, welcome to Going Deep, Patton. We're so glad to get to sit down and have a conversation with you after all these years.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Hey, can we go back to your high school career? Now, Maryville High School in Tennessee is one of the premier high school football programs really in the country. I mean, what a great school. You won multiple state championships there, and we kind of developed a relationship while I was at North Carolina as the offensive coordinator and quarterback's coach. Could you talk to us a little bit about the process you were going through in recruiting, and how you ended up choosing North Carolina before we get into what happened, ultimately landing you at Vanderbilt?
I had an interesting recruitment. Like you said, Maryville, pretty strong football tradition, especially at quarterback. I don't know if there's ever been not a lot of guys go on to the Division I level, but there's a lot of really, really good players that come through there, especially when Coach Quarles, who's now the offensive coordinator at Furman, was the head coach. And the guy in front of me there, Philip Uline, now he's the starting quarterback for the Swedish national football team and all this other cool stuff. So I didn't really get to play much until I was a junior. So unlike all these guys who were four-year starters and throughout high school, I got a pretty late start. I had a pretty good year my junior year, got some good film on tape, and we sent it out and really wasn't expecting much, but got some invites to various things and, you know, about combines and whatnot. And then about January of going into my senior year, things just really started to blow up. Vanderbilt started calling. I got calls from Florida State and Notre Dame, places that I hadn't even, you know, thought about. I was really thinking I was just going to end up going to an Ivy League school or something like that to play ball. But then all these big programs started showing interest, and it was a lot at first. I'm a pretty reserved guy off the field and wasn't used to having a lot of attention and things like that. So it took a lot of getting used to. I really didn't like the recruiting process that much. I thought it was a lot of, coaches blowing a lot of smoke, pumping these high school kids up to be something they're not, and that didn't really sit well with me. So
that's very observant of you. I think that's very and a good insight.
Hey, wait a second! I was one of those guys.
It's part of the job. I mean, that's what you have to do. There's a lot of
intense,
kids that want
though.
That.
It is intense.
Well,
it is.
I think what's interesting to me is you certainly did have what I thought were a lot of options, from schools like Harvard to SEC and ACC schools that you mentioned. And
right.
People talk a lot about why football players choose schools. And the NCAA
right.
wants to say, well, they choose this school because not because of a coach, but because they're going to that school or they like that school. But I don't think that's altogether true, and certainly we started to forge a relationship, or at least I felt like, golly, this is one guy that I really want to coach. How can we get him at North Carolina?
That's where I was headed next.
Go on.
I remember getting a call. I think it was from Coach Mogridge first. Who was really interested And I knew what I wanted out of a school. And it wasn't just a place to play football. You know, I wanted to go to medical school, even after, at that time, a hopeful NFL career. I still wanted to do that. And I wanted to be prepared to pursue that dream because that was another dream of mine. And I wanted a school that could help me fulfill both those dreams. And so when North Carolina comes calling, you know, that carried a lot of weight with it. You're talking about a place with what I thought was, at that time, and still do think it's a great place that has kind of the best of both worlds available to the student athlete. You know, you can get a world-class degree and play football or basketball or whatever sport at a great athletic program. So North Carolina comes calling, and I immediately piqued my interest, came down to visit you guys. And, you know, you and I spoke on the phone a lot and really just fell in love with the idea of you being my coach. All the things that I wanted to hear about a program and an offensive coordinator and a quarterback coach, you said all those things, and I knew you meant it. I knew you were sincere about it. So it was really a no-brainer when I got the offer to be a Tar Heel and play under Coach Shoup at North Carolina. There was no way I was going to turn that down.
I mean, I remember all of that unfolding and what a perfect fit it seemed like you were for North Carolina. Like, just you had all of the aspects of what a place like that needed, wanted, and could really nurture and help an athlete like you thrive, not just as an athlete, but as a student. It felt really providential, like, oh yeah, this is a really good fit. It's a really good fit. Your personality, your work ethic, your ability, and your aspiration to get a good education. I remember all that.
What I remember most of all is I can remember sitting down with my son, Sid, who's now a freshman in college, but sitting down with my son, Sid, in the 2011 season, your senior year, we had a bye week, and Sid and I drove out to Maryville, Tennessee to watch you play football one weekend. And I can remember I told Sid, I want you to come with me because I want you to see how this guy carries himself. I want you to see. I've never recruited a guy who I think is as good of a player and as fine of a leader and citizen as this guy is, and I want you to be around him. That's what I thought whenever I took my son out there to Maryville.
You're making me blush, Coach.
Well, we're on the radio. No one can see it.
Okay. No one can see it.
But see, that's one of the things that I think also is just really remarkable about you is your humility. You know, you say you're a reserved guy, but also you're just not, you know, you're just not really trying to toot your own horn. You're kind of taking care of business, which I've been married to John for 23 years. That's the kind of player he likes. He doesn't like who's like there to be like, hey, I'm great, everybody, but just be great.
Well, now let's keep moving forward in the process, because talk about recruiting. I mean, you got stuck in some of the most, unethical or some of the worst recruiting, I don't know what the word would be, messes. In the history of recruiting messes. So going into your senior season, to the 2011 season, and the Carolina Tar Heels are going into the 2011 season, 8 days before we're to begin training camp, our head football coach, Butch Davis, is fired. And you and I are deep into the courtship. I don't know exactly when you decided to come to North Carolina or not come to it, but both of us are now like, okay, what's going to be next? Because when Butch Davis gets fired, basically, I got to coach this entire season knowing I'm 99.9% going to be fired at the end of the season. And where did that put you? And do you remember finding out that Butch was fired and kind of the limbo that we were both placed in?
I do remember that. I can't remember if it was Coach Quarles or my mom or my dad that was the first to tell me. I remember when the scandal broke out, the academic scandal, and thinking, oh, man, this is probably not a good look, but, you know, it doesn't seem like this will affect the football team that much. And then, obviously, Coach Davis got fired, and that was tough. I had already committed at that point. I remember sitting in with you and Coach Davis in the football offices in Chapel Hill and getting the offer, and I was ready to commit right on the spot. And my dad wouldn't let me. He's like, no, we're going to think about this. We're going to drive home. We're going to do this the right way, which, you know, my dad, very steadfast and always knows the right thing to do was right. But when we got home, I was still ready to commit to North Carolina and you and Coach Davis. So all those good feelings were gone in an instant because I knew that the place that I had committed to was no longer the same. And I also knew that more than likely at the end of the year that you were not going to be around. But I knew there was a chance you would be, and you and I had talked about that. We had talked about, you know, there was a chance that the new coach could keep you on, and there was a chance that you could be the next head guy at UNC. And, you know, to me at that point, that was enough, knowing that there was a chance that you would be there and knowing the kind of opportunities that I would have had at a place like Carolina was more than enough to keep me committed and really excited about being a Tar Heel.
Yeah.
I will say my mom and dad were like, you know, maybe we should look at other places, things like that. But, you know, I was very much all about Carolina. Even just to exemplify that, I ended up going to Vanderbilt. And I visited Vanderbilt during that season. Didn't even want to go because I was like, I'm not doing that, Mom. I'm committed to North Carolina. I'm committed to Coach Shoup. I'm not going to go visit Vandy. That doesn't sit well with me. And they convinced me to go. And I still didn't like it because at that time I was a Tar Heel guy. Felt wrong to be there, but
yeah.
You know, just kind of how it was.
Remember that from our end too, just how heartbreaking that was in terms of our emotional roller coaster that we were on. You were a really big part of that for us, like you coming to North Carolina, you feeling like such a great fit. It felt like one of those things where like, this can't be happening because there's so many good things happening. How can this
right.
bad thing be happening? And part of what kind of kept us hopeful and believing that something good could work out at North Carolina for us was you. That just felt like such a good fit. I can remember sitting in our house and tears, you know, about that. Just kind of really feeling like we have to trust that good things are ahead because there's so many signs that this is a good fit. From our end, I feel like your heartbreak was something that really impacted us as well, and how that whole experience felt to us.
Well, I can remember after your senior season, I was still coaching at North Carolina because we were getting ready for a bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of could see the light and knew they were going to hire a different coach and our whole staff was going to be gone. And I went and watched you win the state championship at Tennessee Tech. And I think the next week I came and visited you and your parents in your home.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember us sitting there talking, having one of the most honest and gut-wrenching conversations I've ever had. Because I was saying to you, you need to go look at other places. I don't think I'm going to be there. And we talked a lot about Vanderbilt University and the fact that my brother, Bob Shute, was the defensive coordinator there. I said, now, I can't promise you he's ever going to coach you a lick, but at least there's going to be a guy named Shute there that I'll call him and do whatever I got to do if things aren't going right for you. Do you remember that conversation? And then if you could walk us through just kind of how you went to North Carolina and then to Vanderbilt.
Right. I do remember that conversation. That was tough. I think that was the last time we spoke as, you know, offensive coordinator and quarterback recruit to come in at UNC, because the next time I was visited by a coach from UNC, it was the next staff. One of the funniest things about my recruitment was my two top schools, Vandy and UNC. And on either side, I was being recruited by one of the Shute brothers.
The Shute, yeah. it was a Shute sandwich.
What made me so mad was I read in Sports Illustrated a little bit later that Bob Shute beat out John Shute in the recruitment of a star quarterback. I called my brother and said, that's the biggest BS I've ever heard. I gave you this, you know.
The best part about it was I remember looking up in the stands in the state championship game at Tennessee Tech, and we had won the game, and I look up, and it's you and your brother sitting next to each other, next to my family. I just that still makes me laugh. Still makes me laugh.
Yeah.
But I remember you coming to the house, talking to me and mom and dad, and then at that time, you know, we had taken your advice about opening things up because we just didn't know and wanted to have all our bases covered. So Coach Franklin and Coach Ronnie and the rest of the staff at Vandy had come down. Coaches at Iowa had come down. I don't know if you can remember.
Kurt Ferentz, for sure.
That's right. That's right. My mom still thinks Kurt Ferentz is just the greatest human being on the face of the earth just from that one visit.
He's a fine man.
He had at our house. Great guy. The hammer drops, and we find out that, you know, you're not going to be at the University of North Carolina for sure. It's a done deal. And I was distraught. You know, at that point, everything in my closet was Carolina blue. I was, you know, getting ready to move to Chapel Hill in 2 weeks and start class. And
yeah, you were a mid-year enrollee, and so you were going in January.
That's right. I, you know, tried to graduate a year early because I wanted to graduate a semester early, because I wanted to get over there and, you know, start diving into the playbook with you and Bryn Renner. And, you know, that was gone in an instant. That was gone. That just wasn't going to happen, at least not the way that I had pictured it in my mind. They hired the next staff. They had recruited me at their previous school, so had wanted me to still come to North Carolina. But I wasn't sure, you know. That was my whole image. The whole way that I felt about that place changed the instant that you were let go, because I wholeheartedly say it, that you were probably the biggest reason I committed to UNC. I mean, the institutional things were great. The athletic programs, the academic programs were great. But the big reason I wanted to be there was because I wanted to be coached by you, because I felt like you and I had the same priorities, and that was, you know, football is really important, but there's also other things that are really important too. And all that was gone. I had to make a decision in 2 weeks where I wanted to go to school for the next, you know, 3 to 5 years. And it was probably one of the hardest 2 weeks of my life. At least at that time, it felt like it was. Lost a lot of weight, was, you know, staying up all night, just thinking to myself, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And could not come to a decision. You know, on one side, I felt like I had, even though you had gone, I felt like I had committed to UNC, and I needed to honor that commitment, even though it wasn't the same UNC I had committed to. Then on the other side, I really liked Iowa, but I didn't really think at that time I wanted to live in the Midwest. So it was about Vandy, and Vandy was a very similar program to UNC academically. Coach Franklin and his staff were really, you know, on the up and up with the football side of things, and it seemed like it was going to be a great place. So I struggled with that for a while, and ultimately it came down to move-in weekend in Chapel Hill, and I still hadn't made up my mind. And my dad was like, well, we're just going to go to Chapel Hill. We're not going to bring any of our stuff. We're just going to go. It's going to be like a visit. We're going to meet with the new staff, make a decision there. But you haven't been there in so long. You need to go see it one more time. So we did. We piled in the car. Me, Mom, and Dad drove to Chapel Hill for a basketball game. Met with the new staff. I remember sitting next to Bryn Renner in the stands talking about things and talking about you and how even though it was different, it was still Carolina. But, you know, to me, it didn't feel that way. And I knew that, but my mom and dad, I think, were kind of, at that point, pushing for me to stay just because they wanted me to honor my commitment. I understood that. So the next day, I signed a scholarship agreement, was getting stuff in my dorm ready to go, and just knew in the pit of my stomach that I just didn't want to be there, that it was not where I wanted to spend the next 3 to 5 years. And there was nothing wrong with the new staff. There was nothing wrong with anything about North Carolina. It's just things had changed from what I wanted at North Carolina, and you weren't there, and just didn't feel the same to me. So I called my mom and said, Mom, I just can't do this. I can't be here. This is a great place, but I need to, this isn't where I want to be. I need to go to Vanderbilt. So I ran from the, I think it was the Academic Sports Center. I literally ran. I was already had keys in my dorm, put my keys to the dorm in the dorm, ran to my mom and dad's car, and we got out of there because we knew I had to get off campus before midnight or else I was going to be stuck there because classes had started. And then we hopped in the car and went to Vandy. Wow. But first, and to my dad's credit, you know, we're going to do things the right way. He made me call the new head coach and tell him exactly what I was doing. And that was really hard. That was really hard. But ultimately, I made the right decision.
Wow. It brings back so many memories just to hear Patton's voice and to go back over this story. I didn't realize how much I kind of needed to process all this. So I'm looking forward to the next part of our conversation where we continue to explore with Patton kind of the ins and outs of just his somewhat arduous journey through NCAA football.
I hope you'll join us on the next episode of Going Deep when we continue our conversation with the greatest quarterback you have never heard of, Patton Robinette. You've been listening to Going Deep, sports in the 21st century from the studios of Blue Ridge Public Radio, NPR for Western North Carolina. Tell us what you think of the show by emailing us at goingdeep@bpr.org. And make sure you like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter @ShoopsGoingDeep.